Sitting city over.
Mr. Pin said nothing. A similar idea had occurred to him, but unlike with his colleague, deed did not automatically follow upon what passed for thought. The firm had indeed not operated in Ankh-Morpork before. Mr. Pin had kept away because, well, there were plenty of other cities, and an instinct for survival had told him that the big wahoony, the world's rarest and most evil-smelling vegetable, and consequently much prized by connoisseurs, who seldom prize anything cheap and common, also a slang name for Ankh-Morpork, although it does not smell as bad as that. An instinct for survival had told him that the big wahoony should wait a while. He'd had a plan, ever since he'd met Mr. Tulip and found that his own inventiveness, combined with Tulip's incessant anger, promised a successful career. He'd developed their business in Genua, Pseudopolis, Querm, cities smaller and easier to navigate than Ankh-Morpork, although these days it seemed they increasingly resembled it. The reason that they had done well, he'd realised, was that sooner or later people went soft. Take the trollish Breccia, for instance. Once the honk and slab route had been established all the way to Überwald, and the rival clans had been eliminated, the trolls had got soft. The tons acted like society lords. It was the same everywhere. The big old gangs and families reached some kind of equilibrium with society and settled down to be a specialist kind of businessman. They cut down on henchmen and employed butlers instead. And then, when there was a bit of difficulty, they needed muscle that could think. And there was the new firm, ready and willing. And waiting. One day there'd be time for a new generation, Mr. Pin thought. One with a new way of doing things. One without the shackles of tradition holding them back. Happening people. Mr. Tulip, for example, happened all the time.
"Hey, will you ing look at this?" said the happening Tulip, who had uncovered another painting. "Signed by Gogley, but it's a ing fake. Look at the way the light falls here, will you? And the leaves on this tree. If ing Gogley painted that, it was with his ing foot, probably some ing pupil."
While they had been marking time in the city, Mr. Pin had followed Mr. Tulip, trailing scouring powder and canine worming tablets through one after another of the city's art galleries. The man had insisted. It had been an education, mostly for the curators. Mr. Tulip had the instinct for art, which he did not have for chemistry. Sneezing icing sugar and dribbling foot powder, he was ushered into private galleries where he ran his bloodshot eye over nervously proffered trays of ivory miniatures. Mr. Pin had watched in silent admiration while his colleague spoke colourfully and at length on the differences between ivory faked the old way with bones and the ing new way the ing dwarfs had come up with using ing refined oil, chalk and ing spirits of knackle. He'd lurched over to the tapestries, declaimed at length about high and low weaving, burst into tears in front of a verdant scene, and then demonstrated that the gallery's prized 13th-century Stolat tapestry couldn't be more than 100 years old because, see that ing bit of purple there? No way was that ing dye around then. And what's this? An Agatean embalming pot from the Puggee Sioux dynasty? Someone took you to the ing cleaners, mister. The glaze is rubbish. It was astounding, and Mr. Pin had been so enthralled that he'd all but forgotten to slip a few small valuable items into his pocket. But in truth, he was familiar with Tulip on art. When they had occasionally to torch the premises, Mr. Tulip always made sure that any truly irreplaceable pieces were removed first, even though that meant taking extra time to tie the inhabitants to their beds. Somewhere under that self-inflicted scar tissue, and at the heart of that shuddering anger, was the soul of a true connoisseur with an unerring instinct for beauty. It was a strange thing to find in the body of a man who would mainline bath salts. The big doors at the other end of the room swung open, revealing the dark space beyond. "Mr. Tulip?" said Mr. Pin. Mr. Tulip drew himself away from a painstaking examination of a possible tapasi table, with its magnificent inlay work involving dozens of ing rare veneers.
"Huh?"
"Time to meet the bosses again," said Mr. P.